Her talent with a Czech target pistol was the finest he'd ever seen, and he guessed she could have picked off the circling creatures with 5 well-placed bullets. He was good, he knew, but he wasn't that good. The blaster went back into its holster, and he reached for his steel Panga. Fire blast! 2 of them had attacked him from opposite directions, angling away at the last second, as if they were trying to force him to break and run from the partial shelter of the ruined building. He was buffeted by the powerful wingtip of the nearer gull, making him blink. A claw snagged at the white silk scarf around his throat, nearly plucking it away from him.
You bastards are fucking dead!
Ryan unwrapped the light, thin, strong scarf, holding it in the center, the weighted ends dangling loosely. With that in his right hand and the Panga in his left, he balanced himself and waited. It didn't take long. Ryan hadn't figured on the birds being canny enough to all come at him in a multiple attack, wings flailing, harsh screeches bursting from their throats. His attempt to strike them down with the scarf was a total failure. He made only a skipping skating contact with the Panga, nicking the smallest of the gulls and drawing a thread of blood. While they gained altitude, Ryan had a moment to look around to see if there was any better place to be. To run out into the open street would bring the birds down at him from all sides. At least they couldn't get behind him if he stayed with his back to the rough bricks. This time, the gulls chose to come at him one after another, pecking and clawing. But Ryan had recovered from the initial shock of the attack and was ready. He parried the first two, then made his own sudden counter. He swung one weighted end of the narrow white silk, grinning mirthlessly to himself as he felt it tangle and tighten around the bird's body. While the wings fluttered in a beating panic, he used the 18-inch blade in a short, slashing blow. The bird's head, with a blank eye staring and beak still opening and closing, dropped to the glass-strewn ground. Blood jetted from its neck, and Ryan was conscious of the strong stench of rotting fish. With a flick of the wrist, he released the flapping body, kicking it away from his feet.
Come on, you bastards!
But the gulls had had enough. In the desolate wasteland of New York, they could easily find alternative prey that wouldn't strike back with such lethal violence. Still shrieking, they circled once, then flew off toward the west and the river. As Ryan moved on, the body of the dead bird still moved, in weakening, fluttering movements, the long flight feathers smeared and clotted with its own thick blood. It took Ryan all of the morning and the first part of the afternoon to locate the headquarters of the Scalies. Ryan was never the sort of man to quickly admit defeat, but he was finally forced to retreat. There were more Scalies than he'd suspected, running into the hundreds, all wearing berets or headbands with a silver lightning flash to identify them as part of a uniquely efficient Muti force. Every route Ryan tried, he found himself barred by the stomping boots of patrol. The main positive result of his extended wreck was his learning that relatively few of the creatures seemed to be carrying any kind of blaster. Most had homemade knives and axes, while some hefted spears. Virtually all wore short wooden clubs at their hips. All were male, mostly between 5'4" and 5'9", though Ryan spotted a few that scraped 6 feet. All had long jaws and sunken nostrils, as well as the coarse, scaled skin that gave them their name. They occupied a large part of the Matin section of the ville. Ryan wasn't sure about street numbering, but he was learning fast. The Muti force seemed to run from roughly West 23rd down south about 9 or 10 blocks, then westward from 9th Avenue, clear to the ravaged dock area on the North River. Some freak of blast and missile attack patterns 100 years ago had left some of the buildings standing, particularly the low warehouses close to the water. Windows and doors were gone, splintered and burned and melted by the new heat, but walls and roofs were often secure. The other main fact Ryan learned was that the Scalies had opened up amazing communication routes through cellars and sewers. One small group of half a dozen that he was shadowing disappeared into a doorway. Moving with slow, infinite care, Ryan closed in on the entrance. But before he'd reached it, the same patrol erupted from an enlarged manhole cover in the center of the highway, 100 yards away. They took him by surprise.
Fire blast!
Ryan spun on his heel and sprinted for his life. At the nearest corner, he glanced back over his shoulder, seeing the muties lumbering after him. One had some sort of long gun at his shoulder. Ryan had no idea where the bullet went. It was easy to outdistance them, but the whole area was infested with the creatures. It was then that Ryan heard the Scalies' mode of communication firsthand. A high, thin whistle sounded, which was answered by others behind him. He heard more to the right, and the left, and ahead. When you were being hunted, one of the greatest dangers was to run blind. To run blind was to run into the hunters. Ryan flattened himself into the empty doorway of a long-gone store. The original cross-hatched pattern of roads that had intersected the ville was partly vanished. Where there had been great craters and tumbled buildings, alternative routes had been painstakingly cut around the obstacles, sometimes weaving through 180 degrees, making it difficult to maintain any sense of direction. This was the Scalies' turf, and there wasn't likely to be any hiding place for blocks around that they didn't know. To the right, some way off, Ryan could see the original squad of muties still plodding steadily toward him. To the left, which was the direction he wanted to go, the main highway was clear. He started off at a fast jog, his pistol in his hand. An alley opened on the far side of the street, and he sprinted for it. The walls were 3 stories high, barely 5 feet across. The ground was cobbled, uneven, slippery with the damp. A thin layer of phosphorescent green moss gleamed on the stones on both sides of the passage. Ahead, Ryan could now see brighter light, signaling the end of the cut-through. He slowed down, looking behind him. The noise of pursuing boots was magnified by the alley.
Stop her!
The voice came from one of several figures that suddenly appeared ahead, blocking the exit. Ryan spun around. Scalies waited at that end as well.
Oh, shit.
The Cacoethes.
What?
Cacoethes.
Yeah, we heard what you said, but we don't know what the hell it means.
Ah, yes. I was just allowing my mind to take a small wander on its own, down into the little rustic lanes of my memory.
Dangerous paths to walk. Never know what you're going to meet lurking around the next corner.
Quite so, quite so. Hence my use of the word, Cacoethes. An aged poet taught me the word a year or so before the skies darkened. He said it meant an itch that you shouldn't scratch, an uncontrollable kind of bad habit.
What made you think about that? What bad habit were you remembering?
The old man smiled in the basement's gloom.
There you have it, my dear. I fear I've completely forgotten what it was I'd remembered. Isn't that the way of the world?
Gaia, he sounds horrible.
Had to tie his hands to his belt. While you and Doc were taking a look around the block, he was trying to tear his face open. The insect bite's driving him stark crazy.
He worse?
I don't think John's going to make it. The coma's deepening, and I don't know what to do. The lump is enormous, and it kind of vibrates when I touch it like it's alive.
Perhaps Ryan will return lathered and spurred, like the man who brought the good antibiotics from Ghent to X.
Doc, half the time I just don't know what you're talking about.
Mildred ran back and knelt down, peering at JB.
Oh, sweet Jesus!
The trader had been big on logical advice, even though it might differ from day to day.
Get in a trap and your best chance is to go back. At least you know what it's like where you've been.
But then again,
you find yourself ambushed, and your best chance of not buying the farm is to go forward like goose shit off a shovel. It won't be expecting that.
Ryan's tactical mind didn't think about either option for more than a tiny splinter of time. His blaster had 15 rounds of 9mm, and one of his pockets held 2 more loaded mags. He prepared to run. Ryan had already decided he was going to follow the second bit of Trader's battle advice. The ones behind him knew who he was, but those in front would only have heard whistles. They knew there was some major alarm, but wouldn't have any idea what to expect. As he powered himself along the last few yards of the constricting alleyway, he saw that he needed to clear some room. He saw the press of bodies that blocked the light simply evaporate. Ryan didn't hesitate or break step, bursting from the mouth of the passage, vaulting a pile of tumbled, bloodied bodies. A squat Scaly was swinging a long-handled axe toward him, and he shot him through his gaping jaws. Now Ryan had a heartbeat to look around and see where he was, weigh up the options and make his move. The immediate bad news was that there were at least 4 more Scalies, standing with a line of 20 or so chained norms. On the good side was the open space beyond them, showing a wide stretch of clear street. The Skelly guards were absurdly slow to react, stunned by the appearance of the man who just blasted down so many of their colleagues. The chained humans were quicker.
Don't kill us!
Give in! They'll take it out on us!
Ryan didn't wait to hear any more.